RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This is the Best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
And I think, generally, everyone feeling a lot better after these last 2 weeks. I mean, the sky was falling after the 3 games that they lost in a row. Really going back to the bye week, you don't play well against Green Bay, you don't play well against Detroit, even though you win these games. And I think, rightfully so, everybody feeling a lot better. You get 2 good offensive performances. And I said on Sunday when I was on, my big takeaway from the game on Saturday is that this team has a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl. And I don't know if I've necessarily felt that way all year long. You know, the way that they played really after getting off to that 4-0 start, they had been a pretty average team, but they looked a lot better these last 2 weeks here. And when you look at where the Eagles are, I think you have a Super Bowl defense. You have a team that has a history of winning. They have experience. And you have an offense that's playing a lot better. But at least for me right now, it's hard to separate that from the fact that what you did was against 2 of the worst teams in football. You know, it was against the Raiders, it was against the Commanders, and I think the Eagles are in good shape right now. But where I am going into this week, and a lot of the conversation already and the rest of the week will be, what do you do against the Bills this week? I need to see them play well against Buffalo. Like, I need to see the Eagles go out and play well. I'm not thinking about sitting anybody this week. I'm going all out. I'm playing everybody in this game. I need to see the Eagles win this game. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494, how are you approaching it this week if you're Nick Sirianni, if you're the Eagles? And do you still think there's something this team needs to prove? That's where I am right now. I still, as much as I am encouraged, and I am very encouraged by what we saw the last couple weeks here, and especially on Saturday, I need to see them do it against Buffalo. I'm playing everybody. Where are you, Devin? How are you approaching it this week?
I mean, I understand, you know, wanting to see them play well against Buffalo, and obviously I think we would all love to see them play well against Buffalo. I'm just so sick of us setting these tests week after week for this team as if this team hasn't accomplished anything, like as if they didn't put up the most amount of points in playoff history last year and crushed a dynasty in the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, as if they didn't just clinch the NFC East back to back for the first time in 21 years. Like, I just feel like we at some point need to give credit where credit is due. And this team is doing amazing things. And we will look back at this era of Eagles football as, you know, the good old days. At some point, it's really hard to win in this league. So I just think it's ridiculous. And I'm not necessarily just coming at you, TK. Like, we do it on the station. I see fans do it all the time. We hold this team to such a high standard that it's like, well, you know, they played well, but now they need to go do this. Well, yeah, they won, but now they need to do this. Yes, they won the NFC East for the second year in a row, for the first team to do it in the NFC East for 21 years. But if they don't win in Buffalo, well, then I'm going to be concerned. Like, we're going into week 17. I think we've seen, I don't want to say we've seen them, the Eagles, for what they are, because Nick Sirianni tends to preach, you know, playing your best football at the end of the year. We certainly saw them play their best football throughout the end of the year and postseason last year. And I think that that will be the case again. I'm just saying, like, it's going to be snowy, probably rain, snow mix expected in Buffalo. It's going to be cold. If you're going to risk anyone's health, especially players like Lane Johnson, like Jalen Carter, who reportedly have the potential to come back, I personally don't think it's worth it. You know, you're already in the postseason. I'm not saying you can lose out the rest of the way, but it's not everything. Like, don't risk the health of your players just to prove that you can beat the Buffalo Bills.
Well, this is the way I look at it. If they're hurt, they're hurt. Like, if they're too injured to play, they're too injured to play. Then, of course, I'm not playing Lane Johnson. I'm not playing Jalen Carter. But if they're good to go, like, if they're good to go, they feel like they're healthy, the Eagles training staff thinks they're healthy, then I'm putting them out there and playing this game. And this is the thing. Like, when we look at last year and we look at this year, and I think what you said is fair, but I also think it's fair to look at the way the team's played this year and believe they're not necessarily the same team that they were last year. You know, they hopefully can get back to that level, but it's not like they have played this season and been the dominant force every week that they were last year. They've looked good the last couple weeks, but we're coming off 5 weeks prior to that of really bad offensive football. And I think there are certainly encouraging things to look at. There are signs that they're moving in the right direction. But when you look at the level of competition, I mean, the Raiders might be the worst team in the NFL. They're certainly one of them. Washington, same thing. That defense is terrible. I would like to see them go into the playoffs by going into Buffalo, playing against a good team, defeating a good team. And it's not just, I think, for us as well, I think for the team. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's important for them to go out there and play against a real playoff caliber team, get your confidence headed in the right direction, because when we look at resting guys too, I mean, we're talking about potentially rest them for 2 weeks. Like, that's like 21, 22 days between playing a real game. I think you need to stay sharp. I think they need to go out and play this week.
I mean, so a lot of it will depend on the conditions, and you also have to look at the past health and past injury history of these guys. So, for example, Jalen Carter had procedures on both his shoulders, clearly had been bothering him. I'm hoping he can come back. And, you know, not that he wasn't dominant even with, like, basically playing with half a shoulder for most of the season, but hopefully can come back and, like, really make a big impact on the D-line. Now, Lane Johnson, different case, because his injury was in an area that can easily be affected by playing on a slippery surface if there's snow or ice or rain or what have you up in Buffalo. And that, something like that, concerns me, especially given how banged up the offensive line is. Now, when it comes to the Bills, I was having this argument with Mike Quake, actually, when we were at dinner before the Commanders game, because I feel like we tend to do this thing, and I don't think it's just a unique to Philadelphia thing. I think football analysts, football, you know, whoever, fans, see a quarterback and we just assume that the team is great because they have a great quarterback. Yes, Josh Allen is great. Guess what? Jalen Hurts is very similar. I haven't looked at the updated since after week 16, but going into week 16 had the same, if not better, QBR than Josh Allen. Josh Allen has thrown more interceptions. Like, we talk about Josh Allen like he's this Superman, and yes, he's super talented. Josh Allen has no wide receivers to throw to, and he's going up against one of the best, if not the best, secondaries in the league in the Eagles secondary. So, like, the matchups here, it's like I'm not going into this game thinking that the Buffalo Bills are this dominant team. The Buffalo Bills haven't made it to the Super Bowl. So I don't know why we talk about this team like they're like the, you know, next Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs, and that beating them would be this massive accomplishment. What? I think that they're a talented team, but I'm not scared of them.
Well, I don't think it's that, but I think there's a difference between them and the Raiders and the Commanders. Like, the Raiders and the Commanders, you're talking about two of the bottom, what, eight teams in football? Two of the bottom quartile teams in football?
Mm-hmm.
The Bills, for whatever we think of them, I think they're pretty good. I think they've taken a little bit of a step back this year, probably not going to win their division. They're probably a top 10 team in the league, and I think it's a good measuring stick to see where this team is at. And I just don't think we're at the point yet where we can say this team has played well enough to where we can sit them for 2 weeks, we can go into the playoffs and feel like everything's fine.
Yeah.
I am encouraged by what we saw the last two games. It's probably the best I've felt about the team, as I said, since week four when they beat Tampa Bay and got to 4-0. But at the same time, I'm not fully convinced like they're fixed. I'm not fully convinced the offense is definitely right. And I'd like to see them go in, do it one more time, do it against a little better competition. And then, you know, you do that.
And then use that Washington game as your kind of bye if you're not going to get the one seed and have an actual bye.
Exactly. Then you can kind of take it easy the last week. But I don't think that should be even a consideration this week. Like, I wouldn't consider one bit sitting guys. Now, Jalen Carter, Lane Johnson, that's a little
different. That's different.
But anybody else, like Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, any of these other players, I'm playing this game as if it's a game I need to win this week.
I understand that. I was talking more about the guys like Lane Johnson, like Jalen Carter, even, you know, N'Kobe Dean, who, you know, we don't know how severe his hamstring issue was. You know, Jordan Davis told me after the game that it's minor, but even that, like, it just depends. If you're playing in bad conditions, I do think you have to take some caution. But I agree. I don't think that you necessarily have to sit everyone. And that's not what I'm saying by any means. I guess my point is I'm not looking at this game as like a test. I just feel like week after week we paint these games like, well, they won against the Raiders and the Commanders, but it's going to be a test. Can they beat Josh Allen and the Bills? Like, this team has proven themselves again and again, 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 and again, and again. I feel like they rise to the occasion. They rise to the level of talent that they're playing. Now, I do think sometimes they can stoop to the level of talent that they're playing, unfortunately, at times. But I have full confidence that this Eagles team can go into Orchard Park and walk away with a win this week.
Nice name drop there, Orchard Park.
That's a true.
I'm going to be at the game, so I know the exact location.
Well, so fun fact,
Landover, Maryland, Orchard Park.
I kept forgetting the actual name of where we were in Maryland, so I didn't have that one. I used to spend a lot of time in Buffalo because I covered professional lacrosse before I started working fully in like Philly sports.
Really?
And I would travel around, and the National Lacrosse League, the Buffalo Bandits, sell out their, like, they sell more tickets to their Buffalo Bandits professional lacrosse, indoor lacrosse games than they do to Sabres games. They're like the
Seriously?
Best team in the league. So we were there year after year because they were always hosting the at least half the games in the semifinals and finals. Great sports town. Love Buffalo. It is so cold.
I was gonna ask you how many people go to these games, but if they're,
I mean, it's like this, it's their arena,
games.
So it's the same as like the Wells Fargo Center.
Or, okay.
Sorry, Xfinity Mobile Arena.
Yeah,
my bad.
Come on, Devin. Get with the program.
Exmo.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. And we'll throw that in as well. Not just in terms of the health of the players. Like, obviously, would you play the players? Would you rest them? But also, do you think this game is important from, you know, a perspective of how you view the team? And do you think the Eagles need to win this game to kind of prove another test? I do. Like, I am encouraged by where they're headed. I think the performances against the Raiders and the Commanders, and really even going back to the Chargers game, because aside from the Hurts turnovers, I thought generally things looked better offensively. And I think, honestly, this might be a hot take here, I think Kevin Petullo's done a really good job over the last few weeks of kind of figuring out the rhythm of this offense and making things run a little more smoothly here. But I would like to see them do it against a real team. I'd like to see them do it against a real playoff caliber team, and want to know, is that important to you, or are you convinced the Eagles are back? Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly, Devin Caney, Ruben Amaro Jr. in today for the morning show. In a few minutes here, we will be joined by Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. Talk to him about winning the NFC East for a second consecutive year and see how things play out the next couple weeks. And as Devin mentioned in the update there, The Eagles cannot finish with the one seed. I was trying to figure this out because I still thought there was an outside shot.
It's really hard. Right. Yeah. It's really hard. But reporting says that they cannot finish with the one seed, mathematically. Now
it's now impossible.
It's impossible.
Okay.
So
I'll take the two seed, though.
Best case scenario is the two seed. So we'll see if the Eagles look to kind of continue on and try to, you know, play for that two seed or rest some players down the stretch. Coach Sirianni joins us now. Coach Sirianni, sponsored by Bud Light. Join Ava Graham at the Duck Inn in Collegeville for an Eagles watch party on Sunday. Win tickets to the final Eagles home game and signed merchandise from Bud Light. Now we are joined by Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. Coach, thanks for joining us. Happy holidays and congratulations on clinching the NFC East on Saturday.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Coach Tom Kelly, Devin Caney, Ruben Amaro Jr. here today. And Coach, just to start, obviously you win that division, you win the NFC East second straight year. No team has done that in this division in 21 years. Just first, how important is that and how much of an accomplishment do you guys view that as, checking that off your list?
Yeah, well, when you win your division, that puts you in the playoffs, which is where you can, obviously get in and achieve your ultimate goal. So, our goals, though, too, right now are just to get better every day, not thinking too far ahead. But that was, it was a good accomplishment. Some tough division with, obviously with a lot of parity in it for the past, 20 years, and it's good to be able to repeat as champs there.
Nick, given the fact that the 49ers won last night, the one seed in the conference is essentially off the table for you guys. And with Lane Johnson, Jalen Carter reportedly expected to come back this week. N'Kobe Dean obviously left the game early Saturday. Will that impact how you go into this game in Buffalo in terms of who you decide gets the most playing time? Like, is this a game where you're definitely going to play the starters throughout the entire game?
Yeah, this is a week that we have to get better. This is an opportunity for us to go out there. We've been on short week after short week. We're finally on a normal week, as far as our rest goes. So this is a really important week for us, practice-wise, game-wise, to go and get better, and we'll see how everything plays itself out. But really important week for us to improve as a football team.
Coach, obviously a big story offense, and the last couple weeks, offense much better against the Raiders, against Washington, two of your statistically best games of the year, 4 touchdowns and 8 possessions last week. What are you seeing different? What are you guys doing differently on that side of the ball that's leading to more success?
Yeah, I think anytime, I think everyone wants to point to one thing when it's not going well, and everyone wants to point to one thing when it is going good. It's the ultimate team game, though, so I think we're coaching a little bit better. I think we're executing a little bit better, and we're finding our groove a little bit right there. Kind of some things that we want as our identity is kind of showing up, and we're just finding a little bit of a groove. And sometimes, some seasons it takes a little longer to find your groove than other seasons. But the ultimate goal is to be playing your best football by the end of the year, and I think we're trending that way.
Yeah, going into week 17, Nick, you mentioned the goal this week is to get better. I know that the celebration, if you want to call it that, was pretty understated after, clinching the division for the second year in a row, first time in over 20 years, obviously a big accomplishment. But are you content with how the team is performing now at the end of the regular season, going into the postseason? And what would you say the biggest focus is going to be for you as head coach to get this team, playing a cleaner football game?
Yeah, again, I don't think you're ever content. I don't think we get to these spots ever being content. It's you always have things to improve on. You're always in a daily quest and a daily grind to get better. And there's always room for that. And so, you always want to play, always want to play with a little bit better fundamentals. Like, those are things that, you can always get better at. I think that you have teams that find sustained success when you have great talent. You pay a great attention to detail. You play together and you play with relentless effort. And those are things that we feel like we can just continue to get better at, continue to grind on. And that's our daily focus. It's not, there's not a secret pill or secret sauce to, to continual improvement. It's boring and it's a process. And it takes every single day throughout the year. And I think our guys have given great effort to, you know, continue to come together as a team, to continue to pay great attention to detail and get better at that, and, you know, and to play with relentless effort.
Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni joining us now. And, Coach, got to ask you about Jake Elliott. Obviously, has been a great kicker here for a long time. Really good in the first half of the year. He struggled the last couple games. What are you seeing from Jake, and what do you tell Jake, a guy who you know can do this at a high level, struggled lately? How do you kind of coach him up during these times?
Yeah, you know, you always talk about fundamentals through it, process through it. And, you know, I've seen Jake get himself out of slumps before, right? We saw it last year. He was in a little bit of a slump last year and got himself out. And, you know, under tough circumstances, you know. And so I have a lot of faith in Jake and a lot of, you know, that's not blind faith. That's built up over the years. He's a great kicker, you know, who is clutch, you know, and every player goes through ups and downs in a season. And I think that Jake's, though, sometimes can just be magnified more because, you know, he's the one kicking the ball. And so nobody wants to make those kicks more than Jake does, I promise you that. And he has a great process. I got a ton of faith in him, ton of confidence in him. And I've seen it that he's so mentally tough that he's going to be able to respond. And I got faith in that.
All right, Nick, lastly, you know, I know from covering the team, from talking to the guys, that you like to use imagery and, you know, mental images to send a message to this team. Jordan Mailata told me at the very start of the season, you talked about a mountaintop and how you guys were kind of just focusing on what's ahead, not really looking in the rear view. I guess my question to you is, it in week 17, the regular season's winding down, you guys are obviously getting ready for the postseason. What's the image? What's the visualization that you're telling these guys now?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure I have the perfect one each week, or but it is. It's just this boring quest to get better, and that's what we're in right now. And again, when you get late in the year, you need to be reminded, you know, and you're tired and you're sore and, you know, all those different things. You just have to be reminded that we're just in this continual growth phase, and you know. Again, if you want, if you ask what I'm talking about for each and every week of what the message may be to the team, you can pretty much guess it's going to be something with toughness, detail, or together. And, you know, this week's no exception.
Well, Coach, whatever you've done the last couple weeks, it's certainly working. So hopefully we keep that up. But Coach Nick Sirianni, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and good luck this week in Buffalo.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Sean.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Coach Nick Sirianni joining us this morning. And, you know, I think a lot of stuff as expected. Certainly sounds like they're going to play this week like they would any other week.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. I kind of like the fact that they're going to, I mean, they got to build on what they're going for. I know that they're trying to get everybody healthy. And you know, do you play the guys, you know, play the Lane Johnson? Do you play these guys? And do you risk them? Well, they got to get their reps. They got to get, you know, the feel for things because, I mean, their lines were basically the reason why they had so much success last year, and also the reason why they did not have a ton of success in the early part of the year. That they've been a little weaker there, and hopefully they'll show that the world and to themselves that they're healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, Lane Johnson, Jalen Carter, these guys have played a lot of football. Like, you're largely confident in them, but. I mean, Lane, he hasn't played since, what was the last game he played in? The Packers game? Was
ooh, yes.
Prior to the bye?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was the Packers game, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so,
great to get them back on the field and doing their thing because they need them.
It might have been the Lions game because he was so in and out. Like, he'd leave and then he'd, you know, get, like, wrapped up and then he'd go out and then it finally he'd... I think was like out.
Yeah.
I think it might have been the Lions game, but it's been a while.
It was kind of like the old Jason Peters thing.
Yeah.
Where Jason Peters had that going for a while where he'd be in and out of the game mm-hmm. every time and, you know, get these guys healthy for the playoffs. And Lane, that's maybe a little bit of a different thing, but you know, I think this game would be like, even if the Bears were to win Sunday night, I think it would be good for this team's confidence. You know, go into Buffalo, beat a team like that, and then, you know, that would take the decision out of your hands. If Chicago were to win on Sunday night, then you can go into week 18 and just treat it as a game where you can sit guys.
An exhibition game.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
But hopefully,
well, except
I can go
Dan
out there
Quinn
and win
apparently
this week.
Wants revenge on that exhibition game, but I guess that doesn't really.
Yeah, he was not happy about the 2-point
conversion.
He was
not pleased.
Yeah.
Not pleased.
What's your take on that, Ruben? Like the you know disrespect when you're kind of a losing team? How do you kind of view that?
I mean, the Eagles sort of figured it out. They wanted to make sure that they put themselves in a position and not have to worry about some fluky thing happening at the end of the game. And so I get it. I don't think that there was any, they weren't trying to embarrass them. They were trying to make sure that they got the W, and I had no problem with that myself.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at that game immediately after them on Saturday night. I mean, look at what happened to the Packers.
Right. Packers, you know, I mean, they blow it late. So, I mean, listen, that's part of the game. And I think that they were being intelligent by making sure that something that crazy would not happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you to Coach Sirianni for joining us.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, as we discuss the back-to-back NFC East champions and look forward here. We got a lot to come on the show. We will unpack the Jake Elliott situation, what the Eagles should do in Buffalo coming up on Sunday where they play the Bills in a big one, all the seeding stuff. We'll go around the NFL as well and react with you to the win, what it means, back-to-back NFC East titles. Joining us now to talk about the game, he was on the call. You heard him in the montage just a few minutes ago. Now we get to talk to the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. Merrill, good morning.
Good morning. It is a good morning. It's sunny. It's nippy, and the Eagles are in the playoffs.
They are, and Merrill, let's talk about the accomplishment. You know, you were on the call back in 2004 when it became a yearly thing. The Eagles would win the division back-to-back years, and then no one did it in this division for 21 seasons until now. What was it like to call it, and what's this accomplishment mean in your eyes to win this division in back-to-back years?
Well, that means a lot, the fact that in five seasons, Nick Sirianni has been to the playoffs every single year and has been to the Super Bowl twice and won one of them. I think that means an awful lot.
Merrill, I agree. And the other thing that stood out to me this morning and just watching football yesterday, Merrill, right now, and it could change in the next couple weeks, but right now, the Eagles are the only team that won a division last year that is in first place right now. And we could have seven new division winners and then the Eagles again repeating. It's pretty remarkable. The league changes a lot. It changes quickly, and yet the Eagles are back.
Well, you know, they're not just back. They ran away with the division. Mm-hmm. About a month ago, everybody was saying, well, you know what? The Cowboys are sneaking up. They're good right now. They're getting better every week. They're just a game and a half back. And boom, then they went down the chute, and then the Eagles got hot again.
They did, and this is a typical thing in December, and the Eagles are now in the postseason, and we'll see where they're seen. Let's talk about the game itself, Merrill. It was a frustrating first half because it just felt like they left so many opportunities on the board with missed kicks, with the fumble early. But then once that second half arrived, they just took over. I mean, the Jalen Hurts touchdown to Goddard was, I thought, one of his best plays of the year. And then the defense was just suffocating.
Well, I thought Jalen played well throughout the entire game. I mean, he had a quarterback rating of 111. He had 74% completion rate. He threw for two touchdowns, including the great one that you talked about to Goddard. And also, he rushed for 40 yards. He just played great football, and a lot of good things took place. The defense was tremendous. I mean, if you look at it truthfully, they gave up 10 points. The last points came against all backups and really didn't make much of a difference. But the Eagles won conclusively, and that's what's important. The week before, we talked about how bad the Raiders were. And they were bad, but the Eagles dominated them and beat them 31-0. And actually, the Raiders gave Houston and their great defense a game yesterday.
They did. Very close game down in Houston. Merrill, when you look at the game on Saturday and then the whole season in entirety, what's your thought on the development here of Jordan Davis and the way he's played? Because when the season, last offseason, Merrill, into the beginning of the season, I was a little bit skeptical of the idea that they picked up his fifth-year option. He had not had a great start to his Eagles career, and I was like, I kind of wanted to make him earn it. And then we had a chance to sit down with him at training camp, and I could see that he was changed, not just physically, but he just seemed more mature to me. And I was like, all right, maybe the Eagles were right on this. And then watching him this season, I think he deserves to go to the Pro Bowl, Merrill. I think he's been outstanding and has looked like a first-round pick this season.
Well, absolutely. I agree completely, Joe. He does deserve to go to the Pro Bowl. I can't imagine that he won't go to the Pro Bowl. He has just been a tremendous football player, and the Eagles needed him to move up. Of course, you don't know it at the time, but as it turned out with Jalen Carter going down, he has really, really picked his game up, and he's been a dominant force each week.
He has. Merrill Reese with us here, the voice of the Eagles, as we react to the win over the Commanders, back-to-back NFC's titles. Merrill, what was your thought late in the game, about 4.5 minutes to go, when the Eagles decided to go for 2 points to push their lead to 18? I did not take it as they're running up the score. That just didn't cross my mind. But obviously, Dan Quinn and the Commanders took exception to it. What were you thinking in the moment, and how did you? What was your reaction to their reaction?
Well, if you're playing and you're playing at the rate that the Commanders are playing and you're down to your third quarterback, anything's going to make you irritable. You're going to be angry about everything. But the fact of the matter is, that's not running up the score by scoring an extra point. They had already stopped passing. They had taken the first unit people out of the game on defense anyhow. And the fact, I thought, I wasn't doing the math in my mind, but if he had done that just because they hadn't run a 2-point conversion in a while and that's something they wanted to work on, that would have been okay with me. But that was not running up the score. They're just being cranky.
Merrill, I think you're right. Your thought on this game moving forward, let's look ahead a little bit to Sunday. Eagles in Buffalo against the Bills. It's not a matchup we see very often. We saw it a couple years ago here. It was a shootout where the Eagles won the game in overtime. Your first thought on this game, Eagles and Bills, with the Eagles still having a chance to move up in the seeding with the next 2 weeks here coming up.
Well, my first thought is what I'm going to be wearing. What if I can use those quilted khakis and the heaviest jacket I can find and a nice big woolen cap, because it's not going to be pleasant there. But honestly, I'll be honest with you. To me, the difference between the third seed and the second seed is huge. It is really, really worth playing for if that second seed is on the line. And you look at last year, they were the second seed. And they benefited because Washington upset Detroit, who was the first seed, and they had the three home games, which took them to the Super Bowl. I think the prospects of having all home games is absolutely worth playing for, and I think they have to play the starters within reason. I mean, if they have a starter who's coming back from injury, don't do it. But if you play the healthy starters this week and go at it and try to beat Buffalo, and I'll tell you something, I watched Buffalo yesterday, and yes, they have some great players, and their offense can do great things, but they are not that good a defensive team.
I agree. They're not, and their run defense has been poor really the whole season, so it could be another good day for Saquon Barkley. Merrill, have a great week. Enjoy the rest
of it. Merry Christmas, Merrill.
Yes, so happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Merrill, and we'll talk to you on Sunday as we get ready for a big one up in Buffalo.
Thank you, Joe, and you guys have a Merry Christmas, and Q, have a great day.
You as well.
There he goes. The voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. Yes, Eagles Buffalo coming up on Sunday as Eagles will make a decision on how they're going to play this. Just in terms of the schedule, they're going to that game is at 4:25 Sunday. The Bears play at 8 o'clock Sunday, so they're not going to have any intel on what the Bears do before they play their next game. Hugh, my first thought, and we'll get to it, they're going to play on Sunday.
Yeah, you got to play.
Yeah, they're going
to play. Because you got a sliver of a chance to, what is it, the second seed?
Well, depending on tonight, they still have a minute sliver at the one.
Yeah.
But really, the
go
two.
Go for it. You got to go for it.
Well, we'll see how they play. It has been mostly, I would say, today. Everyone's feeling good, right? Things are going well. Jalen played well for the second straight week.
It was a good day.
Running game was really good. They blocked it well. They played really good defense. Coop with the pick, Jordan Davis. I mean, it's really, it's a day to feel good.
Yeah.
There is an issue.
Unless you're that one guy that came in and laughed at us.
Oh, yeah. Was it Steve? Yeah. Yeah, he thought we were silly for being excited about a team that has won two blowouts in a row. I mean, that's all right. I mean, I got his overall point, but they look good doing it. So we're going to feel good about it. But there is one thing I think we all realize is becoming an issue. Hugh Douglas, that is Jake Elliott. It is the kicker. So before we get to hearing from Nick Sirianni and Jake Elliott on his struggles, how concerned are you with Jake? Not so much what are they going to do, but just the issue of our kicker is pretty unreliable right now. And over the last 2 years, 5 of 15 from 50-plus. How concerned are you?
I think it's something that you have to address, but that's at the end of the season. I think it is what it is. I think the last couple weeks, it's become more of a thing because we've had a chance to see a little bit more of him.
Yep.
It's been going on all year, to your point, because he hasn't been great all year. But we had other fish to fry. We were, you know, we worried about the quarterback and the way that he was playing in the offense as a whole.
The coordinator,
yeah,
all that. Yeah,
so it became one of those things where he kind of flew under the radar. And now we are where we are. They didn't do anything. You know, like you were talking about bringing in somebody else to kind of push him a little bit. There's really nobody out there to push him. So, in essence, in this run, you protect him by not putting him – you try to put him in positions where he can have more success. Then, you know, that – what was it? What was the one yesterday? It was like 56 yards or something like that?
I think one of the misses was 57, but he also missed shorter ones on Saturday.
But see, that's what I'm saying. The longer one, I really – that one was a little tough. I gave him some grace on that one. But the other ones that, you know, you're supposed to be making, then you got to make
all
those.
All right, a couple things off what you said there. I understand both your points today that, like, who's out there. But when I say anyone, I literally mean anyone. I mean, teams do this to their kicker, that they'll bring in, like, whoever the two or three guys are that most recently play in the NFL. What's the guy's name, Hugh?
Young Wei Koo. No, but you said, like, we are, like, I'm pretty sure everybody that's in earshot remembers the last time they saw Young Wei Koo kicking.
He stinks.
And that's when he was – he damn near tore his leg off.
Has he been cut from two or three teams this year? He stinks. I know
he missed
that.
The football.
Guys, I get it.
The whole thing.
But wait,
they got his ass out of town like the next day. Dog, what you doing? This is your job. You know what I mean?
I mean, could it hurt Jake Elliott to see two kickers trying out this week?
Maybe.
Okay. I mean, I'm asking.
I don't think he's soft. I think he
knows. I don't think he's soft either. He's been here a long time.
They didn't want to put him out there and for the extra point.
Yeah.
And we theorized it could have been because they don't want to ruin his confidence.
Somebody said something. Somebody said something online that got me thinking a little bit. They said something to the effect of, are the Eagles going to keep waxing nostalgic because he was a part of the Super Bowl teams, or are you going to do something about it? Now, I hear.
Sounds familiar.
Who said that?
Nothing.
Oh, I'm just saying. But here's the thing. I get that sentiment. But I'm not willing to move. Like, I will address it at the end of the year. I'll address it when everything's done, but not right now.
So I think that's probably how this is going to go. The concern is just the way this team plays and the way the NFC field is.
I totally understand where you're coming from.
I mean, 23-20 might be a playoff game.
Those points matter.
They matter. And so there's a lot of elements to this. Where they bring someone else in, we'll see what they do this week. Also, is going to start to change the way Nick Sirianni coaches the game.
Yes.
He's 5 of 15 from 50-plus. I mean, 33% is 33% over 2 years. If we're in a game and the ball is on the 37, and it's 4th and 3. That's not a spot. Like, if you're just doing the math on it, he's 33% to make that kick versus what are they to get the first down? I don't know, 50%, 45%, like whatever the number is. It might move the Eagles to go for more fourth downs. All right, let's hear from Nick Sirianni after the game. Talk about his kicker.
Do you think it's like mental?
I have the utmost confidence in Jake. You know, I think like any team, you have ups and downs, and that's just not offense, defense. That's special teams, and you know, that's your kicker too. I have a ton of confidence in him that, you know, he'll respond, he'll rebound from this because he's mentally tough and a great kicker. And you know, we have the utmost faith in Jake moving forward.
All right, there you go, then.
Yeah, he could say that, but he also attempted a 2-point conversion up 17 in the fourth quarter, set a Rollins kicker back out there for another kick. Let's now hear from Jake Elliott, locker room after the game. Interesting hearing him reflect on what he thinks is wrong, and he does say in here he does think it's a mental thing.
Do you think it's like mental?
No, honestly, not at all. So that's kind of what's frustrating about it, is I don't feel like that at all. I kind of wish it was.
It would be easier
to fix. So, yeah. No, I mean, it's something I'll have to go take a deep dive on and watch the film. And no one's harder on themselves than myself. So, like I said, frustrating and got to be better.
It's out of your control in some ways, but do you worry they might bring a kicker in here for?
I understand. It's production-based business. You see it all the time. So that's out of my hands. That's out of my control. All I can do is kind of put my head down and keep pushing.
When Nick went for two at the end, did he communicate anything to you there about that?
That was just kind of a scoring thing. It puts us up.
All right, so this, I think there's a lot there that's interesting to me. One, he says it's not a mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that obviously means it's a physical thing. He's either just missing or something's off.
Sounds like it's probably some mechanical.
Okay. So does that make you feel better?
It does to the extent that it could probably be fixed this week. You know, I don't.
But why hasn't it been fixed in all year?
I'm just going off of what he said.
I know.
I'm just going off of what the man said. So I'm thinking, like I said, the 57-yard one. You know, that's a 50-50 one right there. I give him that one. But the ones that you're supposed to make,
yeah,
I think that there's probably some issues with the mechanics.
He also said he wouldn't mind, and he gets it if they bring someone into workout this week. That's, I think he's handling that like a pro. But the other part that's interesting is it kind of goes back to the 2-point conversion, and he didn't seem surprised they went for two there, which means maybe they go over this stuff during the week. Like, hey, if we're up this many points in this situation, we're just going for two. So he doesn't feel slighted. That also makes me think the Eagles were not running the score up. That's just what their data said.
No,
like,
that's to me, that felt like more analytics.
I agree. And Dan Quinn's still crying about it. I don't get it.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back.
take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Joining us now to talk about the game, number 5, Donovan McNabb. What's up, Donovan?
All right, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Feeling pretty good, Donovan. Couple straight wins. So, just offensively first, what was your big takeaway from Saturday's game?
Well, I think we just did what we need to do to win. Nothing was spectacular. I mean, we had some big explosive runs in the running game with Saquon and our running back by committee, so to speak. But as far as our passing game was concerned, we did just enough to win. And, you know, I think we threw for just over 160 yards passing with 5.2 or 5.8 yards per passing play, which I expect us to be a little bit more explosive. But, you know, it is what it is at this particular point. I think we all just kind of have to accept the fact that we're just not an explosive offense in the passing game. We're methodical. It's moving the chains. Obviously didn't turn the football over, but more importantly, I think it, for this football team is, you know, if we can continue to stay this way and be balanced and our defense puts us on a short field, we'll have a great opportunity to continue to move on.
Not much from under the center. Their explanation was kind of...
Remember what I said, exactly. I expected that. But I don't know if it was maybe they didn't want to show that in the first meeting, and then we'll see in the next game, the next opportunity to change it up a little bit. But that was my big question. You know, the fact that we did bring it under, you know, bring that to now the film where the other teams have to prepare for it, but where does that now lead us? Do we move into that realm where we open it up, or was it just something to try again?
Well, I'll tell you, them running out of the shotgun probably was the most success they've had running out of the shotgun in any game I could think of. So I'm just wondering, they gave them a different look. I know we all certainly would prefer more under the center stuff, but did you at least like what they did out of the shotgun? It seemed like they had a lot more empty backfield sets.
Yep.
As well. Did you like what they did sort of from a schematic standpoint Saturday?
From a schematic standpoint, I love the fact that, yes, we did do a little bit more empty because I think we have receivers that can create mismatches if they decide to play us man, but we just don't utilize it. And I think as far as the shotgun runs are concerned, it's pretty much the same as stuff that we've been doing, and we just haven't been blocking well up front. And to be honest with you, some of the schemes that we were doing as far as blocking is, you know, concerned up front, you know, there were a few missed blocks on a lot of different occasions that could have been more explosive runs. So I just think for this team, consistency is the thing that we have to focus more on when it comes to what this offense is about. We don't have an identity, but just as far as consistency, and that being Jalen protecting the football, taking what the defense is giving them, a lot of times we'll be hitting check downs or our intermediate route, quick game, and not too much over the top. But we just got to accept what we are, and hopefully we can continue to play at this level on both sides and find ourselves hopefully winning games.
Donovan, can you talk about, like, how that, from a QB perspective and from an offensive totality perspective, when you're going empty and five wide, what it does to the defense and how it can create an advantage offensively? Like, what is happening there that allows them to be successful?
Well, the whole thing as far as when you either go empty or motion into empty, you're creating mismatches. You're trying to create mismatches, and you're also trying to see what the defense is doing. A lot of times they'll show a lot of different blitzes, but when you motion out into empty, either they stay in that same blitz or they pull them out of that blitz, where now that linebacker, that safety, who may be involved in the blitz, now has to go out and cover the running back. And then in certain instances when they do, you know, go out and cover the running back, you know you're getting man. If they just kind of expand the corner out and kind of shift the defense, then you know you're in the zone. And so some of the pass plays will be the intermediate or quick game that you'll utilize. But if they go man, you want to attack them downfield, maybe some crossing routes and have a deep over route over at 18 to 25, and over the top you have either post or post corner, where now you put that corner in a bind because he doesn't have the safety help. And so I will say that they have been creative in that aspect of it. And this is something that I have seen early in the season with Kevin Petula. This is why I said I don't think it's so much as Kevin Petula not wanting to be creative. I think a lot of it is just being on the same page with everyone else so that they understand his philosophy and what he's trying to do. So I'm looking to see where we're going to take this. I would love to see us a little bit more in empty and be able to create those mismatches. But I will say that, you know, at least we were balanced enough where we showed a lot of different looks that were very successful for us.
Yeah. Donovan, one thing I read, just to talk about the empty thing a little bit more, one thing I read was that it just defenses are trying to disguise what they do more than ever, right? And then when you spread it out like that, I think you touched on it a little bit there, it makes it harder for the defense to disguise what defense that they're actually running. And that has changed over the last few years. Like, so if you were in that position now and defense is doing all that disguising, showing blitz and then not doing it, dropping, you know, linemen into coverage more than they ever have, what is it, from a quarterback perspective, what's the right way to try to assess that to make the decision what you're doing with the ball when your pre-snap reads are more difficult to make than they might have been in the past?
Well, I mean, if me being the quarterback and I had the guys that I've had, I mean, when you bring Westbrook out in motion, you know you have to either bring a safety out to him or you're going to expand that corner because you don't want to have that linebacker playing him man-to-man. And I think the same thing could be said if they do that and then have a linebacker covering Saquon Barkley or our backup running back. I mean, he's shown he's got quickness and hands, and I think you can utilize him more in the passing game. And if teams want to decide to blitz, which most of the time it'll be an all-out blitz if they do, then you just either throw a quick game out to that running back or possibly that outside receiver, run a wide receiver screen, something that obviously I got a chance to watch a little bit of what Drake May was doing it with New England. It would show one side and then throw it to the opposite side, and all of a sudden it becomes a big play. And so I think there's ways of being able to attack in that situation. But also, too, when you have a quarterback that has a mobility like Jalen, you can run a quarterback draw. If they spread it out and nobody's in the middle of the football field and you can block up that five, meaning that four down lineman and that linebacker, that means it's just you and the goalpost. You hit your head on the goalpost. So there's a lot of different things that you can do in an empty set that puts a lot of pressure on the defense. And now that makes them have to dictate what they want to do in that next situation, that next alignment that you do.
Last two games, you know, Jalen's legs have been a big part of what they've been doing offensively as far as being able to sustain drives.
Right.
And they're not calling a bunch of quarterback runs, but I've noticed when he sees that man-to-man coverage and those defenders have their back turned to him, he's a little more decisive when he wants to run. I'm just, are you seeing that? Are you seeing something different with his sort of his quick decision to go ahead and take off and use his legs?
I will say this, Ike, and you've been a part of it. It's about the development at the position. When you have a young quarterback, yeah, you'll create some read option stuff and get him moving and be an option in the run game. But when you're developing at the position, you learn how to play from the pocket, but also know your strength of if they decide to play man, there's nobody guarding you. And so that middle becomes wide open. And the same we could be said of with the development of what Lamar Jackson has been about. Lamar's sitting in the pocket and he's buying time with his eyes downfield, and he'll decide to take off. And now you become that much more of a threat where they can't just have that safety going and double teaming over the top of receiver. They can't have that linebacker now vacate the middle of the football field because you have that ability to be able to utilize your legs. That's what I'm seeing from Jalen. I'm seeing Jalen understanding a little bit of playing from the pocket and what he's trying to do. He's trying to be methodical of his reads and understand he has time when he is protected. You would like to see him maybe run the ball maybe 3 to 4 times a game, and I've been in that same situation. Like, a lot of people outside may not like it, but that's what the development of the position. A lot of the young guys are going through it at this particular point. You can look and see, especially the whole Drake May and Caleb Williams draft, of how those guys are playing. But that's just how we kind of perform at that position. And that's something that we just got to be able to build around. Hopefully Kevin Petula will be here next year so we don't have to go through this whole option of finding another coordinator so that he can kind of have a chemistry with Jalen.
Donovan, this defense has really, really evolved over the year, and they look like they are a championship-level defense right now. And one of the most impressive things, doing it without Jalen Carter, with the contributions that Jordan Davis has given over the last couple of weeks, what are you seeing right from the defense that has impressed you?
I mean, I can't say that we're at championship level right now because we don't have Jalen Carter. Now, if we play right the way we're playing and Jalen Carter adds what we expect him to add to that, then I can say, yes, we can become one of the top five of defenses. But the only thing that I will say, when you look at, like, the Houston Texans, can we play at that level from a front four standpoint that they've been playing at with those defensive ends coming upfield and causing havoc? You know, can we play like some of these other top defenses that have been playing? And that's being consistent when it comes to first and second down. So on third down now, you get a third and long situation where you can peel your ears back and be able to get to the quarterback. If we can continue to be in that kind of phase, we're on first down, we're getting tackle for losses, on second down, we're getting incomplete passes. Now all of a sudden you start to see the Jalen Carters, and you also see maybe, you know, BG coming off the edge, and some of these other guys. So I just think it all starts with us on defense of being able to establish that on first and second down. So on third down, we're not fighting in a third and short situation.
So let's say this season ended today. I know it doesn't, but let's say it does. Where do you see the Eagles in the hierarchy of the NFC? Who do you think the best one or two teams are, and where do you think the Eagles sit within the NFC?
Obviously people may get upset because of what I said, but I still think the Rams are the top class of the NFC, even though that they lost to Seattle. From a record standpoint and how Seattle played against the Rams, I would probably have to put them number two. I would say that we're definitely probably number three when it comes to the NFC. And from four and five after that, it's kind of a toss-up of different teams. But I would just at least say from what we have done so far, we're definitely in that top three of the categories. But, you know, I think we're better than Seattle. But if we happen to play in Seattle, it can go either way. So I just think for where the NFC is at this particular point, there's good parity. It's not big separation, but we are definitely in the upper echelon of the NFC.
All right, Donovan. We'll have a Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you next week after a big game against Buffalo next Sunday.
Absolutely.
Actually, let me ask you about that. What do you think of the Buffalo game, the Eagles and the Bills?
I would say, to be honest with you, I think Buffalo is in the same situation that we are when they're trying to figure out who they are. I mean, these wins that Buffalo has had hasn't been impressive, but they found ways to win toward the end of the game. You know, everybody expects, you know, Josh Allen to put his cape on all the time. They got an established runner in Cook. They may not have that number one weapon at the wide receiver, but Josh spreads the ball around. Their tight end is solid. And so they use their tight end the way we should be using Dallas Goedert. But I just think for what Buffalo has been, their defense is a bend but don't break type of defense. Don't get a lot of pressure. But they find ways to win. So I think it's going to be a really good game. It's going to be highly competitive. I think they will come out on top, but I don't think it'll be a big blowout type of win.
All right, Donovan, we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it, bro.
Sounds good. Sounds good, brother.
All right.
I think it was Robert Saleh said earlier this week that the way the defense is now, he's given up on worrying about yards. And I think it's interesting because so many of the way the defenses play, they're really just forcing the offense to make play after play after play after play.
Give up explosives.
And basically just assuming that eventually you're not going to make the play.
Yep.
We'll either create a turnover or we'll force you to have to punt. And that is the situation that they're in. It's the evolution of where offenses are and where defenses are is really interesting, I think.
Yeah, and here's the other thing defenses have to think about now. Everything is four downs just about.
Yes.
So you're no longer get them three and out.
Yes.
Because depending on where you are on the field, you're going to need four to get off the field. So you almost have to be able to call a defense from that standpoint. Now, it seems like that's advantage offense, but here's the thing. So many teams get greedy down there in that 25-yard line area, 20-yard line area. They want that touchdown so bad, so when it's fourth and four, they don't take the three. They still try to go for it on fourth down. Well, if the defense gets a stop, now you get no points.
Right.
You get no points, right? So you may have to play an extra down, but sometimes, depending on that down and distance, that may work in your favor.
And it's one thing if you're I don't want to give up to you guys this quick on the going for fourth down, because I know you guys are footballsmen, and I know you guys want to kick the field goal.
But take the points, Take the points, guys.
Take the points, guys.
Yep.
But there's a big difference between last year's Lions going for it on fourth down all the time and everybody going for it on fourth down all the time. Like, last year's Lions were an awesome offense. Mm-hmm. They were the pressure they put on the defense by doing that all the time, I thought, ended up being, whether they lost in the divisional round or not, I thought it was the right thing to do for that Lions team. Mm-hmm. But there are very few offenses every year that are at the level that Detroit offense is. And I think a lot of times where I think people have maybe lost the thread, or teams have lost the thread on the go for it on fourth, is that, like, the momentum swing of not getting it on fourth.
Yes.
And the ability of having an honest conversation with yourself about who your offense is. Mm-hmm. There are some offenses. I think the Buffalo offense is actually great at getting 3 yards. Mm-hmm. If a fourth and three, with the way that they play offense.
You got Josh Allen, he can run.
He can run, they cook, and the way that their pass game is. But there are not a lot of offenses in the NFL that I'm super confident you're getting it on fourth and three or fourth and four. And in those situations, getting the points or kicking the ball away and trusting your defense might be the way to go.
Because for a defense, it's rare that you're going to run it on fourth and three.
Yes, you have to.
We know you're going to throw the
quarterback
ball. Other than a quarterback run, you're probably going to throw it. And that's how we beat Detroit here. They kept going for it on fourth down.
Yes.
they kept going for it. So, and it can be deflating for an offense when you don't pick those fourth downs up. So it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, when you convert those fourth downs, it's great. You look smart and you're doing it. But I'm saying, from a defensive standpoint, man, that's just as good as getting a turnover. Especially when you're down in scoring area and you don't take the points.
Speaking of a turnover, I forget who it was on Washington, and they play ended up not counting because of a penalty. But the guy that intercepted it on the 4 yard line, rather than just knocking it down and getting the ball on, it was a fourth down.
Fourth and seven.
It was fourth and seven.
Yeah.
What he should have done is knocked the ball down. What he did do was catch the ball.
So, I don't even remember that.
Oh, yeah.
It got wiped away with a penalty.
Penalty. But Jalen threw a bomb.
You know what he threw it? The one AJ was like, no.
Yes, that one.
Yeah, now I remember.
Well, and the guy caught it, and if it had counted, they would have had the ball on their own
the
five rather than on the 40-yard line.
Right. No, you're right. I do remember that play, yeah.
And then the last thing, just to go back to the Donovan conversation about the Eagles going empty.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, what one thing that we've seen a lot, and it's happening a lot in the league, but they do it to the Eagles a lot, is disguising coverages and acting like you're blitzing and not blitzing. Simulated pressures.
Yeah.
And when you go empty, the defense really can't do it.
Can't do it.
And it just makes things simple. It's the same thing that hurry up does. That it simplifies everything, and you can really see what's going on. That drive. That drive in empty was one of their best drives of the year, I thought.
Yeah.
And I thought, the Washington's defense is not very good. But I thought Jalen looked as good in that drive as he's looked all year. That is something that they should definitely – we're all in love, and rightly so, with under center.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clear that Jalen's not super comfortable passing the ball under center. He's very comfortable in shotgun throwing the ball. So going empty is something that – I know that they're a running team, but I think it gives something that Donovan said too. It gives Jalen the opportunity to run the ball more.
Yeah.
I think it's something that we'll end up seeing more as the season goes on.
And I'm perfectly fine with that because you can't become predictable as an offense.
Right.
So everybody's been talking about get under center. Well, that's probably what Washington was preparing for.
Yes.
For the Eagles to be under center.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they come out with a totally different game plan. Frankie Louvu. Did he even play Friday? I mean, Saturday?
He played. He didn't do
anything. Played.
Yeah,
he didn't
hear his name called at all. So he wasn't blitzing and rushing the passer and creating all that stuff. And so the Eagles said, you know what? Washington likes to do this, so we're going to put them in spread formation. So when they do decide to come, Jalen can easily read it. Like you just said, he can easily read it and see it. So, you know, give Kevin Petullo some credit for sort of mixing things up, being flexible. And as long as they don't forget about the under the center stuff.
Yeah, yeah, they can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah, like, as long as you don't forget about it, because it's working for you. It's good stuff. Like, it's not like it hurts the team. So to have that in your bag, and I know the running backs enjoy running from the dot.
Of course.
It used to be called an I. We don't use fullbacks that often.
Nope.
Oh, now it's called the dot.
Well, because he's the only guy there.
Oh, only the one guy behind him.
Yes.
Right.
And the dot behind the center.
Dot's just high-level football talk. We got even high level. We got dot.
Yeah.
We got Spike breaking down the skies.
Well, I
you
saw.
You got dot. You got pistol. You got off to the right. You
also,
got,
I saw Jack doing his little smug smirk over there when I started talking
this
about
guy's
it.
Like,
we started talking football.
Oh, you see this guy's to Donovan, too.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Well, I was waiting for Donovan to be like, are you kidding me?
Well,
I love it. I think it's funny. Well,
it should be funny. I'm doing my homework.
Yes! You are doing your homework.
Well. Welcome on in, ladies and gentlemen. It's the WIP Afternoon Show. No Ike, no Spike, no Fritz. It's the one and only Broads. We have 4 hours of fun lined up for you. Are you kidding me? Welcome on into the second annual Jalen Hurts Appreciation Day. I've been thinking about this for the last 9-10 months. Are you kidding me? I was watching Jalen Hurts on Saturday. I was watching him step up in the pocket and throw a beautiful ball to Dallas Goedert on 3rd and goal from the 15. Talk about on the money. Talk about with the game on the line making the clutch play. I watched him under center play action hit Devontae Smith on the right side of the field. I watched him get his hat and t-shirt yet again to punch another ticket to the playoffs. And I thought to myself, I'm sick of the nonsense. It pisses me off that he gets constantly doubted. A new offensive coordinator every single year. Still manages to have ridiculous success. He's the best quarterback in franchise history. And he's only 27 years old. A ton of athletes, they talk a big game about winning and caring about winning, but there's very few that actually live it. We have a quarterback that seriously lives it. And if you can't appreciate that, you're nuts. Jalen is the 6th quarterback in NFL history to make the playoffs in the first 5 seasons as a starter. I could go on and on. This show would have to be 15 hours long. I may have to do a 24-hour program of straight up praising Jalen for all of the accolades because the list is like a CVS receipt. Here's my question for you. At 215-592-9494. What do you love about Jalen Hurts? What do you love about Jalen Hurts as we appreciate him all throughout the afternoon? Now, because I am a man of the people, I don't want to not include some out there. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do this. For the haters, if you have genitals, you can call in. And you can say why this day is silly to you. Why Jalen doesn't deserve a show where he gets praised for the greatness. Again, if you have stones. Let's take a listen to our quarterback. Jalen Hurts, I got 2 pieces of audio for you. Let's start with when he won the Super Bowl, listen to this mindset. This guy is one of one. There's nobody like him. He's rare. He's so rare. I love it. This was Jalen after bringing home Super Bowl MVP. Take a listen.
It's like the joy of winning it. Still had no comparison to the pain of losing it. And so those things are still going to continue to motivate me and drive me internally.
Come on. Are you serious? Guy wins a bowl and goes, yeah, now listen, when I lose, it hurts more. Again, everything you dream about, when you put your little head on your pillow at night and you think about having a franchise QB and you think about having one of the best franchises in the sport, this is what you want. You got it. You got it. Now, that was the highest of the high. Let's go to the lowest of the low. This was after having five turnovers, four interceptions, five total turnovers against the Chargers. Listen to the mentality.
All-encompassing. It's that way when we have success, and it's that way when we have these tough times. But at the end of the day, it's all about how you respond to it. So it definitely stings. But how do you respond? And that's the only way I know how to look at it. And again, you're going to see what type of resolve does this team have, what type of resolve do we have within what's in us to respond the way we want to. So we just got to dig.
And they've done great things since then. And I just want to show you, compare and contrast, the highest of the high, the lowest of the low. There is something special about that makeup. And you know what's funny? His relentlessness is so amazing. I feel it in my body. I feel it in my bones when he's out there leading this team. He should be appreciated the same way we appreciate Brian Dawkins. He should be appreciated the same way we appreciate Malcolm Jenkins. He should be appreciated the same way we appreciate Brandon Graham. Everything he does, though, somehow gets devalued. His resume is insanely impressive, and every time you bring it up to someone, they say this, I don't want to hear it. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't want to hear everything that he's accomplished already in his career because it's so damn lethal? Josh Allen would flip resumes with Jalen Hurts today, right now, at this very second. He'd flip-flop his resume with Jalen Hurts today. And everything he does gets the value. I don't get it. His team is too good. Okay, well, Matthew Stafford left the Lions. Let me tell you what he got in L.A. The best defensive tackle ever in Aaron Donald. Ever. Not just of this era. The greatest defensive tackle ever. Von Miller. Go look at the production that he gave the Rams to help pursue that Super Bowl when he went to the Rams. Jalen Ramsey. One of the best DBs of the recent times. Cooper Kupp and Sean McVay. That doesn't diminish how good of a quarterback Matthew Stafford is, but to look at what's surrounding a quarterback and say, well, anyone could have won with that. Even Matthew Stafford, who's a great thrower of the football, needed all of that surrounding him to get the job done. But Broads, if it wasn't for Jalen Carter against the Rams, shut your mouth. If it wasn't for one interception, Seahawks, Patriots, Malcolm Butler, then Tom Brady has one less ring. That's not how this works. That doesn't diminish Tom Brady and the excellence and the winning, just like it doesn't diminish Jalen Hurts. So 215-592-9494. That's where we get started on the second annual Jalen Hurts Appreciation Day. I'm so excited. We have so many guests lined up. We got Elliot Shore Parks in studio at 3 for an hour. We got Spike Eskin checking in to see how the program goes at 4. We got James Seltzer, known Jalen lover, joining at 4:30. And my last PSA before we get to you all. I do not want this to become taking shots at Spike, at Fritz. That's not this. If you want to group Jalen haters as a whole and call them morons, stupid, dopes, and all that, fine. As a whole, we're most likely going to do that. But this isn't a program where you're going to sit here and start ripping those two specifically. Blah, blah, blah. That's not what this is about. This is about praising the QB. I love them too. I disagree with their football stance on the QB, but I love those two, and I'm not just going to accept that. You want to talk to them about it, you can call them. You know the number. You know when they're here. But I love them. I respect them. And that's not what I'm going to do. So make it Jalen. Make it dopes and morons who hate him as a whole.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.